in the 6th, 7th, and 8th chapter of Judges. Some of you know where I'm going. It's been some 200 years since Joshua led God's chosen people across Jordan to the Promised Land. They've witnessed many victories. But over this 200 years, a lot of things happened. They had disobeyed God. They turned to pagan gods. They turned to corrupt customs, false philosophies. They had been chosen to be God's great society. But they had forgotten and forsaken the true and the living God. They began seeking their self-interests rather than God's. God allowed the enemy to take over. They were besieged with the Midianites for 7 years. The Midianites were fierce Arab nomads from the desert. They dominated and devastated and destroyed everything they'd come to. God's chosen people, the Israelites, were living underground in the caves and anywhere they could hide. Poverty and starvation abounded everywhere. The whole nation became bankrupt. Bankrupt emotionally, spiritually, and economically. That's usually the order of things. They no longer found pleasure and happiness and joy in following their God. Spiritually, they had died and no longer cared. And when God withholds His, hear me tonight, when God withholds His blessing, then you come to the bank emotionally and spiritually, but also economically. That's when it happens. America is rich and prosperous tonight because she one time served God. These Midianites were descendants of Ishmael. These people were the first ever to domesticate the camel. So they completely had taken over this land. The people began to cry and complain to God. And God sent a prophet to them. And said, ye have not obeyed my voice. That's the reason you're in the trouble you're in. Do you hear me tonight? Do you see the parallel between Israel and between America? Ye have not obeyed my voice. It was Jehovah that brought you out of slavery. It was Jehovah that gave you all of these things. But you've turned away from Him. He chose a young man by the name of Gideon. We see this young man. Can you get the picture? Israel is underground. They hide to do everything they're doing. Here's this young man, Gideon, down in a wine press, threshing wheat. Probably the last little bundle of wheat he has. Remember, it's been a terrible time for 7 years. And while he was down there, an angel came from the Lord and said two things. Gideon, the Lord is with thee. The second thing was, thou mighty man of valor. here's this great man of courage hiding, threshing out the last wheat he can for his family. But God sent a messenger and said, you mighty man of courage, the Lord's with you. I wonder if Gideon didn't, well, he actually did say, where is he? If God's with me, why are all these things happening to me? Self-pity. Everything that goes wrong is God's fault. Why is this happening to me? Any one of you here tonight or in those viewing the television, have you ever asked the question, why is this happening to me? Self-pity. Verse 14, this angel says, Gideon, go, and thou shalt save Israel. Let's listen to excuses. You ever make an excuse when God calls you to do something? How in the world can I deliver Israel? I'm not of the fighting tribe. I'm not of the tribe of Judah. I'm of the tribe of Manasseh. Now, this tribe, we're farmers, God. I don't know anything about fighting. I'm a farmer. Not only that, Manasseh is the poorest tribe of all of them. I'm just a poor farmer. And not only that, I'm the youngest of my father's house. You know, the older ones could do more than I could do. Hear the excuses. What's your excuse tonight? God's more concerned about dedication than He is about qualifications. God's more concerned about availability than He is ability. If God calls you, He'll make it possible for you to do what He's asked you to do. What can I do, Lord? God reminds him. I will be with thee. As I was with Moses, I'll be with thee. As I was with Joshua, I'll be with thee. Oh, can you imagine this man's mind racing about across time? And he thought, Moses? You remember Moses had run from God, taking care of the sheep on the backside of the desert. He tried to get his people out of bondage and he failed. He's on the backside of the desert. God spoke to him out of a burning bush. And said, I want you to go down and deliver your people out of bondage. Who am I, Lord? I'm not a good spokesman. God said, you don't understand. I'll be with you. I'm going to go with you, Moses. Moses said, who will I say sent me? He said, just say, I am that I am. I am the true and the living God. Just tell them that, Moses. That's all you'll need to tell them. Oh, I could dwell on that a little while, and I want to hurry. Let's look at Joshua for a moment. Moses had been buried. He brought the people to the top of Moab and he looked over, but he couldn't go over. He put Joshua in charge. And Joshua heard God one day and God said, Joshua, as I was with Moses, I will be with thee. The presence of the Lord in your life makes the difference. Everywhere Joshua went, the Lord was opening the way for him. He came to Jordan, did what God told him to do, and Jordan parted. They walked across on dry ground. No sooner hardly had they got over across Jordan until he saw a man. He met an angel of God. Joshua said, are you for us or are you for our adversaries? Whose side, God, are you on? God says, I didn't choose sides. I didn't come to take sides. I came to take over. That's what's wrong with our churches in America today. We no longer allow God to take over. We fix our little programs and write it out neatly. God, you bless it. Here's the program. Choir sings this song. This man prays. Someone gives the invocation. And we have it all lined out. Say, now, God, you bless it. You hear any of that kind of preaching today, preacher? We no longer allow God. A lot of you folks right here can probably go to church Sunday. If the Holy Spirit had left and departed, you wouldn't know the difference. Is this preacher telling you the truth? Our worship has turned into a little routine. The greatest problem we have in America today is we're serving the God of routine. We've always done it this way. And we do it the same way every service. A lot of churches I can go in, I can tell you exactly what's going to happen. We talk about the modernists and how they are and how they turn away the Spirit, how cold they become. We're just like them. We have our little program. It's the same every week. I want to tell you something. I can understand why the unsaved don't come to our churches. There's nothing there for them. Every time we walk in God's house, we ought to be praising His name. We ought to be worshiping Him. He's a God that's alive, and He's on the throne, and He still lives. I say glory to His name. Hallelujah. Woo! Praise the Lord. One man or one woman with God is a majority. He's the one that needs to be with us. I don't care how big the crowd is, if He isn't with us, it's not going to amount to anything. Well, Gideon was going to have to mind God. But he wanted to be sure. Who was this stranger that met him there under that oak tree? Who was this stranger that came down, this angel of God? Gideon wanted to be sure. And he asked this angel, if I prepare a meal, will you stay as my guest? Yeah, well, I'll stay. So Gideon goes, think about this for a moment. Gideon goes in and kills a kid, a young goat. Where'd he find that goat? They've been a famine in the land for 7 years. I imagine that's the last goat Gideon had. But he took it, and he slayed it, and he offered it as a sacrifice. Not only the goat, but that little bit of wheat he had just crushed out. He baked some bread to go with it. And I see that big pot of gravy. And he took the goat. It was cooked or ready to be cooked. And put it on a rock. I said he put it on a rock. And he fixed the gravy and poured over it. That angel came and touched the rock. You know what happened? Fire came out of the rock and consumed the sacrifice. You know where I'm going? God doesn't ask for a goat today. He wants you on the sacrifice. And He will not bless you with anything until you put your life on the rock. Thank God. And I want to tell you, I still believe if you're on the rock, I still believe that there'll be a shout once in a while in your soul. If God's done for you what I know He's done for a lot of people, and He's still doing for people, thank God forever, there's still fire in the rock. Praise God for the fire. I want the fire in my soul tonight. Woo! Praise the Lord. When the fire came out of the rock, think of how scarce the food was. Family starving. But He took that broth, poured it on the rock. The angel touched it. You know what he said? I've seen an angel of the Lord face to face. He would never be the same again. He'd met the Master. He'd given the offering and it had been accepted. He'd given what He had, all He had probably, and it had been taken. What He'd done had been approved. He'd met the Master. Thank God forever. I'd walk last road with a narrow tread travel where comforts and pleasure led, till in one day, in a quiet place, I met the Master face to face. With station and rank and wealth for my goal, much thought for my body and none for my soul, I was determined to win in last mad race. But then I met the Master face to face. I built my castles. I built them high. I built them to the towers, reached the blue of the sky. I was determined to rule with an iron mace. Then I met the Master face to face. I met Him and knew Him and a blush to see that His eyes full of sorrow were fixed on me. I faltered and fell at His feet that day while my castles melted and vanished away. Melted and vanished, and in their place naught else could I see but my Master's face. Now my thoughts are for the souls of men. I've lost my life that I might take it again. In that day in a quiet place when I met the Master face to face. If you've ever met the Master face to face, let me hear an amen. Amen. Hey, thank God. I tell you, Jesse got me stirred tonight. Gideon's service was no longer a lip service. It had become real and genuine. And you know what? Where he met God, the first thing he did was built an altar. You'll read when he made that altar. And when he called it by its name, when he called it Jehovah Shalom, the Lord thy peace. Oh, he said, I felt peace in my soul. Even though our family was starving, I just felt God was near. And I felt peace in my soul. And you know the next thing he did? He tore down the sacrifices of Baal, the false altars. And he built new altars to replace them. God said, thou shalt have no other gods before me. I believe you really get saved and your life gets changed. I believe there'll be things happen. I believe there'll be things happen you never realized could happen. He took 10 men and they cut down the groves and they destroyed the Baal sacrifices and altars. When the people heard about it the next day, they got angry. There's a lot of folks sitting around these little dried up churches, and they get angry if you even try to tell them what this book says. I'm too old and I'm too near the end of the road to start compromising now. I just tell it like it is. Parents here tonight, you're sending your own children to hell. Because they see your life every day. They see your dedication. They see your concern. You're more concerned about them little boys playing football than you are going to church. You're more concerned about those little girls being a cheerleader than you are going to church. You spend 5 hours a week getting your children in the flow of society. But you never show them by example anything from God that's real. When they heard that Gideon did this, they say Gideon did it. We ought to kill him. That's what they said about Christ. Joshua, his father, Joash's father, his own spirit was quickened when he saw the boldness of his son. And he came to the rescue. And he said to those people, now you're getting on Gideon because he's tore down the false altars to Baal and cut down the groves. Say, wait a minute. If he's God, can he not control his own being? Why do we have to kill somebody? Why don't God do it if he's that far out of line? I'll tell you why. He's doing the right thing, what God told him to do. And he blew a trumpet. And the people started coming together. From everywhere. Wasn't long until he had 32,000 in his army. But before he did that, I'll probably not get that far tonight. Gideon said, I want just one more sign. I want to be sure that God's in this thing. I don't blame you for that. I've seen preachers jump up and say they're called to preach, but I think Mama called them. Gideon said, I just got to prove God. And he took dew, or he took a fleece, and he put it on the ground. And he prayed, Lord, if you're really in this thing, would you do something for me for a sign so I'll know it? He said, will you wetten the fleece and put dew on the fleece and cause the ground to be dry all around it? And he saw it happen. You know what the Bible says? He took that fleece and wrung a pot full of water. That same pot he used to pour the gravy in. Was an answer from God. And he filled it full of water. What do you see, Brother Evans? I see a picture here. God was in the midst of his people as long as they served him. They'd gone dry spiritually. They'd turned to other gods. And this man saw this fleece as a contact with God. He knew the God that made wet the fleece was still on the throne. And he saw the dry ground all around. He knew his nation had died spiritually. They were dry. He said, oh God, send water to the fleece. And he did. He said, one more thing, Lord. Will you do it in reverse? Will you cause the fleece to be dry and the ground wet all the way around it? And it happened. And it happened. I want to say that gravy that Gideon poured on the rock Gideon's grave had become God's glory. I shall be, God says, as dew unto Israel. What does dew tell us? Let me just preach a few minutes on the dew. What is dew? Well, there's a lot of explanations, but I'll just mention three or four. The dew point is when the air becomes so condensed with water that the air can no longer hold the water, and it drops little droplets of dew. It turns to moisture. You with me? It comes always in the morning. You ever think on that, any? If you sleep all morning, you're not going to see the dew. Most victories are won in the stillness of the morning when God's people draw to Him and say, God, You go with me through this day. You know who I'm going to meet. You know what I need to say. God, You go with me. And I guarantee you, you can get a witness from the other world. He'll drop a little dew droplet down in your soul. The sun evaporates the dew and turns back to air. God desires to drop a little dew from heaven in little droplets of His anointing. That's what happens. God refreshes us with new strength and new courage when we stay in contact with Him. The dew is never permanent. Just as soon as that sun gets out, the dew disappears. Did you know some of the animals in the Mideast where this Bible was written, for example, camels, they can go for days and days and never take a drink of water. They get all the moisture they need from the dew because they start eating real early. You can't go out on Saturday night and tear around all night and come in and think, well, Lord, I'm just going to sleep in a little while. The preacher where you ought to be has got a message that can bless your heart, and you ought to get out there on Sundays. Even though dew is just a sweet mist, it's often enough to soften the ground. God has to soften your heart. And He could send these dew to do that. Preacher, don't do it. It takes God, the Holy Spirit. And He can do it. Even though this is just a fine mist, it's enough to get you started. Dew doesn't fall when it's windy. I just let that sink in a little. Dew doesn't fall in a rainstorm. Dew doesn't fall when it's hot. But dew comes in the stillness of the morning. The best thing you can do in your life when you wake up in the morning, whisper a little prayer to God. Read a verse or two out of your Bible. Get your day started right, and it'll go a whole lot better. Dew is of the Holy Spirit, and He imparts overcoming power. You can't fight, as I preach the other night, you can't fight the devil by yourself. You've got to have God with you. He said, I'll be with you. And I'll manifest, I'll refresh, I'll send dew to refresh you. He'll uncover new supply and give you a power that you didn't have.
Brian, I want you to get a song.